information around reproductive health. I view it as truly the last gap and full equality for women. And there had to be ways to empower all of us to have these types of conversations and have the tools to understand this information earlier.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. I openly talk about my journey and challenges with fertility on this podcast and across every social media platform. Why? Because when I was going through it, I found hope and guidance and comfort from the women who were out there already sharing their own struggles in a vulnerable and transparent way. With the conversation around fertility expanding and more focus on the topic, not just for those trying to get pregnant, but also as a proactive part of women's health, more and more women are asking questions about their own fertility. Afton Vachiri is the co-founder and CEO of Modern Fertility. Before she even started the company, she wanted to understand her own fertility, even though she wasn't trying for kids. What she encountered was an expensive and super complicated process. So she decided to change it. If you're curious about women's health, proactive fertility, and the decisions that come with family planning, this episode explores those topics and more with Afton Vachiri. Let's dive on in. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Gold Digger. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Do something today you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Skillshare is an online learning community with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/golddigger and get a free trial of premium membership. Thanks to Issue for supporting Gold Digger. Create once and distribute everywhere. Everything is optimized to post on your website and social platforms. Get started with Issue today for free or sign up for a premium account and get 50% off at issuu.com/podcast and use the promo code Gold Digger. All right, Afton, welcome to the Gold Digger Podcast. I am so excited for our conversation today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Okay, well, this is a topic that I love to cover, and you are like the greatest expert to bring on the show. So before we dive into the nitty-gritty, I want to know your personal story. How did you get into the business of women's health and fertility? And was this a career you always envisioned for yourself?
Oh gosh, that is a fun place to start. So, you know, I think my co-founder Carly and I talk about this all the time. And I think that there are some people that never, like Carly, that never thought that she would be, you know, co-founding a women's health company. But I was really fortunate that when I was growing up, I got this very early in life exposure to entrepreneurship before I even knew what entrepreneurship was. So it was actually out of a science fair project that I had to do my freshman year of high school. And out of that science fair project, I found an issue with the water quality in our community. And I ended up starting a business to actually help the people in our community understand more about their water quality and improve it. And I think that really stumbling on this public health issue and realizing that nobody was really going to do anything about it and just deciding that, you know, that we had to do something. It was just kind of this crash course in, you know, public health entrepreneurship 101, and I was hooked. And so from there, oh gosh, I ended up getting a partial scholarship to go to school for entrepreneurship. So I literally had to start companies to stay in school. And then from there, it was just constantly spending time between this intersection of healthcare and business. of science and business. And really, it was kind of a personal passion for women's health, personalized medicine that enabled me to kind of stumble in and dive deep and just realize that there is so much that needs to happen in the fields of reproductive health and fertility. And that's kind of brought us to today with modern fertility at the core of all of that.
So talk to me about modern fertility. Like, what is it? What are modern fertility's core goals? And why are those goals important to you on a personal level?
Oh gosh, so much there. So great place to start. So Modern Fertility is a women's health company focused on making personalized fertility information more available to women earlier in life. So when we started the company, we truly started it as a fertility information company. We felt like the entire conversation around fertility was very reactive as opposed to proactive. And so what we did to start is we took the exact same laboratory tests that women would do in an infertility clinic, typically if they were having trouble getting pregnant, and we took those exact same laboratory tests out of the clinic and made them available to women earlier in life at a fraction of the cost in this really easy to access format, a simple finger prick that you can do at home, mail it into our CLIA and CAP accredited lab, and then get access to your modern fertility experience. And what this experience is it's kind of like a reintroduction to your reproductive health and a fertility baseline. You can check in and learn about your fertility hormones, which are kind of like your fertility detectives that help you understand red flags. They help you understand if you were to pursue egg freezing or IVF, what success might look like. Understand more about menopause onset and that transition. And so we started there, but then always knew that there was so much more to do in women's health and fertility. And so last year, we launched a semi-quantitative ovulation test and an early detection pregnancy test. And then a few months ago, we brought just an amazing prenatal multivitamin to market as well. And so really, we're about enabling women to own the decisions impacting their bodies and futures, whatever those decisions might be, and really giving them the information to help to navigate that path more efficiently.
Oh my goodness. It's so powerful. Also, I take your prenatals, so thank you for those. but I want to know, because for me, you know, this whole world of fertility opened up when we started having our struggles. And it was so wild to me because, you know, for so much of your life, you're trying to prevent getting pregnant. And we had been married for 5 years without any, you know, children on our heart or without that desire to grow a family. And I didn't proactively pursue anything until after our second miscarriage. And so all of this now is so captivating to me. It's so important to me. And it's something that I want people to be proactive about. Did you ever have a personal experience that kind of led you on this journey of discovering that this isn't really accessible and that these options are really limited and expensive?
Yeah, so I was really lucky in that, you know, coming out of these kind of entrepreneurial paths, my first job out of school was actually working at a healthcare private equity fund in New York. And so my job was to find sectors of healthcare that were interesting, growing, had some consolidation potential. And so because of my personal passion in women's health, I just started to spend a lot of time researching that space. And I kind of stumbled on fertility and infertility, but I was, you know, 22 at the time. And that's definitely not what me and my girlfriends in New York City were talking about. But I really felt that at 22, I got the secret window into a world of conversations that I wouldn't be having for quite some time with my girlfriend. So as part of that diligence process, I had to learn the business of infertility. I had to learn the science of infertility, but it was really the emotional aspect that stuck with me. I had to go into infertility clinics in New York City and talk to these women who, you know, told me that, hey, no one ever told me that fertility declined with age, or, you know, no one ever told me that IVF wouldn't work for every single person. And I think it was at that moment that I realized that this was just not, that this was a conversation that every person should be having. And we should be talking about it as a part of our general wellness earlier, but there were a lot of reasons that that wasn't the case. And so fast forward, I ended up kind of working in a handful of other environments, but I was actually at 23andMe running their consumer tools division as a product manager there. And I realized that I was waiting until later in life to start my own family. Mm-hmm. And I remembered those baseline tests that I had learned about back in private equity, and I tried to get them done.
And so I went to my OB and I said, hey, I'd like to get these tests done. And they said, no, you're not actively trying and failing to have a baby, because our entire system today is based on trying and failing for a certain period of time before you're even offered the option to get some of these tests. And then your insurance might not even cover them. And so they said, no, you're not actively trying and failing to conceive. We're not going to order them for you. So I actually have to go into an infertility clinic. I paid, I think it was like $700 for that initial consult. And then I had to get my script to go to a LabCorp Quest to get the testing done. I worked at a very flexible Silicon Valley employer at the time, but I had an irregular cycle. And for some of these tests, if you're not taking oral birth control pills, you have to test on day 3 of your menstrual cycle. So I just kept missing it. And it was just this whole hassle, even, you know, with all of the resources I had to go get the testing done. But when I finally got the information back, it was just so empowering for me to have a conversation with myself, my partner, my doctor about my timeline. And as a part of this process, I actually ended up getting diagnosed with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's one of the leading causes of infertility. It affects 1 in 10 women. No doctor had ever talked to me about PCOS before in my life. And I just thought that my irregular periods were because I'm pretty type A and stressed a lot of the time. And I had no idea that this condition could have implications on my ability to have a child naturally, or my ability, my general health and wellness. And so this whole experience for me was just critical in starting Modern Fertility. But for me, it was less of the personal experience and more of the fact that I was open about this experience with my friends, friends of friends, and then quite literally hundreds of women that I started having these conversations with about, you know, proactive fertility and having questions about, you know, our bodies. And that was really the aha moment for Modern Fertility. It was realizing that information around reproductive health, I viewed as truly the last gap and full equality for women. And there had to be ways to empower all of us to have these types of conversations and have the tools to understand this information earlier. And that's really where it all started.
It's so fascinating to me because I had a similar experience in the sense of, even after our second miscarriage, back to back, same exact scenario happens 2 times in a row. They refused to do any testing and they said, you have to have 3 losses before we'll take it seriously. And I could not believe that the response was to let you go through that again before we do anything to try to prevent that from happening again. And it was just so eye-opening. I had to pay out of pocket to do all the testing on my own, but it was the first time that I actually felt seen and heard and like someone listened and asked those questions like, you know, what is your cycle like? What is your digestion system like? What, you know, how do you feel? What does your skin look like? You know, and it was so incredible to me that we are in this like information age. You know, you can pretty much find out anything by Googling these days. Yet we put these barriers up for us to be able to get information on our bodies and our health. It's just, it's incredibly backwards to me. And it's, I think it's too, just like you said, when you started having these conversations, it just exponentially opened the door for more of those conversations. And I know in sharing our own personal journey, you know, every single day I get messages from women. Today, just probably an hour ago, someone said, you know, I'm pregnant and my progesterone levels are a little bit low. And I know you were taking progesterone. Can you share a little bit about that? And if you would do it again? And it's like, man, it's so sad to me that you have to slide into a stranger's DMs to try to get this information these days. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, that is truly the gap that we saw. It is just crazy that we don't have information about so many conditions, so many facts in women's health, and that needs to change. So what we did, you know, when we started the company, we were like, okay, you know, where should we start? And it was really, you know, upstream, if we could change this whole conversation and from wait and see, try and fail, to proactive information up front, where we could help you understand, you know, what this preconception process looks like, what is normal versus not within trying to conceive, when should you go and talk to your doctor? You know, how do we have those conversations up front? And how do we offer these, you know, best-in-class products, tools, and services to women? But also, how do we change the game and move the entire space forward? And so it was really important to us that as part of our company, research was just a pillar of everything that we do. So now if you're a Modern Fertility customer, if you're taking any of our products, you can consent. It's all opt-in. You own your data, but you can consent to have your anonymized data used in peer-reviewed research. And so if you consent and opt-in, we basically anonymize all of that data. So if you take our Modern Fertility hormone test and complete our questionnaires, we're actually building out this large longitudinal data set of fertility information so that we can actually understand where every miscarriage doesn't have to be a mystery, where we can actually build out better predictors of future fertility so we can have that information up front. And what's crazy is this sounds, you know, novel, but we have this in almost every other condition within healthcare. We have predictive models, we have preventative testing, we have, you know, different types of diagnostic testing. Yet when we look at women's health, it's a massive gap. And the reason, you know, when we spent time, and I spend time at, you know, the top infertility conferences in the US, talking to the top reproductive endocrinologists, fertility doctors, they just kept saying, hey, it's a data problem. We don't have the data sets that are large enough to look at all of this, because we do the majority of our research today on an infertile patient population, women that are presenting at infertility clinics once they already have issues. And we know that it is so resource intensive. It's so expensive for women even to make it into the only 500 infertility clinics that exist in the US today. And so we're really trying to start this kind of broader research to offer these solutions today, offer information, offer test tool services, but also just change the game for the future, because this is just not the way that healthcare should work for women.
I think this is so fascinating, because I think women are genuinely more aware and more hungry for information. And, you know, even in my own journey being pregnant with, well, I guess the fourth time around, but with my second child, my experience this time is so different from last time, because last time I was reactive and this time I was given the opportunity to be proactive and really like focus on my fertility for 7 months before we even started trying again, because I just understood what my body needed in order to successfully carry a pregnancy. And I'm just curious, like, what changes have you seen in how women in our generation and even younger generations are approaching fertility and family planning? Because I'm noticing a trend of just more awareness, but is that something you're seeing too?
Absolutely. I think that there's a handful of things there. I think, you know, when you look at the statistics today, we have 1 in 6 couples that have infertility, that have trouble getting pregnant. And I think with those numbers, the chances that every person knows someone in their lives that have struggled with getting pregnant, that have struggled with a part of their reproductive health, I mean, it is so pervasive today. And it's because that the reactive system that we have just isn't working as we wait until later in life to start our families. That's one of the biggest changes in dynamics there. But I think the other big trend is really thinking about kind of some of the silver linings with COVID last year. We had the opportunity last year, we just happened to be doing a survey with SoFi. I think they went public this week, but the big financial planning company. And we surveyed women all across the US and we were asking how finances and fertility related to each other. And we were kind of ready to launch it. And then the world started shutting down amidst COVID. And so we had the opportunity to reach back out to all women all across the US and understand how COVID was impacting their family planning decisions. And then we repeated that survey about, you know, 6 or 8 months into COVID to understand how that had changed. And so I think what was really interesting is that the majority of women, almost half of survey responses, I think it was about 46%, said that COVID-19 had changed their timeline for kids. 31% were delaying, and then 15% were accelerating. And people were just starting to shift their timeline as well. So we saw that 1 in 5 couples were considering having kids before marriage. 70% didn't think it was taboo to have a kid before you got married. And so we're just seeing the broader cultural shifts happening, and people with ovaries, just really people at large kind of pulling their head up and thinking, you know, how do I want kids to be a part of my life or not? And I think that COVID really caused people to step back and think through, okay, where are my finances today? Do I want to, or am I able to interact with the healthcare system today? And so a lot more people kind of turned into planners during this period of time. And so, you know, we saw an impact in terms of our sales as Modern Fertility, as pandemic times continued. And now we're actually starting to see an uptick in pregnancy test sales, kind of the world starting to go back to normal. So I think it's probably too soon to tell, just in terms of how COVID has impacted timelines more broadly. But I can say at just a macro level, what's been amazing to see is just women demanding answers and having this conversation out in the open. You know, you just being open about your story. I mean, just these are the things, normalizing fertility as a part of our health, as a part of our lives, I think really is the first step. And just seeing the normalization of that conversation has just been so amazing.
You know, it is so incredible too, because I feel like, you know, when you open up about something like this, people are drawn to it and curious about it. And like, even as a part of our team culture, I'm on a team with a bunch of women. And one of my team members was being really proactive in her fertility journey, found out she also has PCOS, was able to like do things proactively that gave her the confidence and the knowledge necessary to have like realistic expectations going into the process of trying to grow their family. And we were actually just talking about this because the media had hypothesized that the pandemic would cause this huge baby boom. You know, we're in the Midwest, so whenever there's a massive snowstorm or something, they always predict that there's going to be like a baby boom following that.
Love it.
But it's interesting because if you look at the numbers, like you were saying, it doesn't really appear that that was the case. And so, you know, what do you think, you know, as we're coming out of this season of unknown and uncertainty, what do you kind of predict will be shifting in terms of women's health and fertility? Because I think a lot of women are at this stage where last year was the year that they asked themselves a lot of questions, right? Like, am I happy? Am I ready for this? Is my career taking off? Like, where do I need to go? Do you have any guesses as to kind of what we'll see as the world continues to open more?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think we could do a whole podcast. You know, I think one of the most amazing things that I found in starting Modern Fertility is just really how unique every fertility journey is. And I think that it's so personal, right? It's up to you to decide and think through what you want your life to look at. I think, you know, broadly we're seeing rates of voluntary childlessness. So choosing to go through life without a family go up. We're continuing to see people with ovaries waiting until later in life to start their families, which in turn has impact on fertility rates. But we're also starting to see, you know, especially with last year, with, you know, interfacing with the healthcare system and financial risk and concern being the two reasons that people were delaying expanding their families. As the world starts to return to normal, those two fears go away. And so I think we're starting to see a rebound. But I think that what I hope continues to persist is really just kind of a normalization of this conversation and just being upfront and understanding that starting to the decision around having kids for a lot of people is one of the largest ones that they'll make in their lives. And it's just so interesting. We spend so much time planning for retirement, planning our mortgages, planning our career and our career progression. Yet for so many people, the thought of having kids is just a black box. And I think that as we continue to just, you know, progress and just are amidst these kind of cultural changes and evolution, I think that my hope is that this just becomes a part of conversations where people realize just where the data is and are empowered by that data, are empowered by the options of the tools, tests, and resources around them to really be their own best advocates. So, you know, they can make the decisions for themselves as opposed to biology making it for them. And I think that information up front is truly what I see as the biggest step that we can make forward in terms of normalizing those conversations.
I'm super curious. I have just been thinking so much about motherhood and career and how those two roles have dramatically shifted, you know, even from our parents' generation to our generation, in that, you know, women are career driven and focused and potentially starting their families later in life, or, you know, trying to pursue both motherhood and career simultaneously, which might be different than how they were raised or their parents raised. What are some things that women should be thinking about if right now they're kind of on that career trajectory and waiting a little bit longer than their parents did to start their family? Because I think that we are in this time of a shift where people are just waiting a little bit longer. And I'm just curious kind of what you think about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's amazing. Women are rising. People with ovaries are rising to new levels of power and authority within society. We're continuing to just, you know, take over. And I just think it's amazing that these shifts are happening in almost every field and continuing to accelerate. And the reality is this will continue to make steps forward as opposed to backwards. And so I just think it's awesome. In regards to just in response to this shift, understanding the other things in our bodies, other things in society that have to shift as a part of it. I just really think that there's a gap from kind of a public health and education standpoint in terms of our, you know, broader narrative around preventing pregnancy, shifting that to talk about, you know, planning pregnancy at the same time that we talk about preventing it. Because it's education, it's biology, it's approaching sex ed in a different way. And so I think it's really, you know, taking a step back and just getting the facts, being an advocate for yourself, understanding your body, understanding your fertility hormones. Obviously, I'm biased. I think that modern fertility and taking the modern fertility hormone test is just an awesome resource to understand that baseline. And so when we see, you know, recent college graduates, you know, take the test and just start to understand where that is in the context of their journey, I just think it's awesome. We're also starting to see this really cool shift where we have a semi-quantitative ovulation test. And typically ovulation tests are used if you're trying to conceive and you want to pinpoint your two most fertile days. You basically pee in a cup in the morning, you dip a strip of paper into the cup, and we have this awesome app that helps you interpret the actual amount of LH in your urine. And when you see that surge, you can time intercourse or insemination to get pregnant. But what we're starting to see is that women that are kind of have been on birth control the majority of their lives are coming off of birth control and just wondering, oh my gosh, like I've never ovulated before. Being on oral birth control just literally has prevented ovulation my entire life. And I have no idea if I have a 20-day cycle, if I have a 30-day cycle, if I even ovulate or not. And so we're starting to see this really cool shift of women just starting to take an ovulation test to understand their baseline, understand their bodies. And so I think this shift to more proactive information is just a really cool one that is easy and just can be a part of your broader routine.
I love this. And I think women's cycles are so fascinating. I think they're telling. I think they can guide us. I think they can normalize the different ways we feel throughout the month. Like, there is so much empowerment happening when you understand women's cycles. And it's so interesting to me that, well, I mean, it's terrible to me that we aren't taught more about that in an empowering context versus like a discrete, you know, hide your tampon up your sleeve type process. And I love that. And it's so interesting because even I was with my family and we're very period positive in our family and we're all just talking about our cycles and things like that. And it's so interesting how you've said it's so unique to each person, but there is a lot of power in knowing your body and being in tune with your body. And I know for me on my process, after we had two miscarriages, I was so angry at my body. I felt like my body had failed me. Like, I disconnected from my body. Like, if I could have just removed my heart and my mind from my body, I would have done that. And I think what really helped me get back into my body was understanding it on a level of what I personally needed. I'm kind of that person that you could tell me, like, you need to eat asparagus for the next 7 days because there's a study that says it helps you. But until I know exactly what's happening inside of my personal body, I'm not going to pay attention. And that's why I think these personalized tests can just be so powerful and empowering. Can you share a little bit about how the hormone test works? Because I've done many hormone tests just to check levels throughout our process, but I would love for a listener to kind of hear what that looks like.
Yeah. So if you come to modernfertility.com and request a test, we customize the panel based on the type of birth control you're taking, if any. And so we test for a range of hormones. But to kind of dive into some of the hormones, one of the core ones that we test for is called AMH, anti-Müllerian hormone. So AMH is this super cool hormone. It is secreted by the cells that surround the follicles in your ovaries. And so basically, every follicle, for the most part, contains an egg. And so by measuring the amount of AMH in your blood, it's basically a proxy for the amount of eggs that you have in your ovaries. And what we can do is, based on your age and your levels, we can say, oh, this is what is average, if you are above average or below average for the number of eggs that you have in your ovaries for that time. And so what's super cool about that is that AMH, it's not going to tell you if you are going to be able to get pregnant that month, because you only need one egg and one sperm to get pregnant, but it's really helpful in terms of understanding more about your reproductive career. So if your AMH, for example, is super, super high like mine, and you can go to modernfertility.com and download my fertility report that I have on our website. While AMH is not a part of the official Rotterdam criteria that is used to diagnose PCOS, it can help your doctor just have a conversation and be a factor of maybe getting to that broader diagnosis. Or if you have almost undetectable levels of AMH, often doctors will use that as a part of understanding other red flags like POI, premature ovarian insufficiency. That affects 1 in 100 women. It's where you have an almost undetectable level of eggs in your ovaries, and that can put you at risk for getting pregnant naturally, but also a host of other cardiovascular health issues. So again, understanding just where your body is so helpful in the context of understanding your reproductive health, but also your reproductive health as a lens to your broader health. We also, if you're not taking certain types of oral birth control, we can test for FSH. And FSH is a hormone that's secreted by your pituitary gland. And basically what that does is it kind of jumpstarts ovulation. So that FSH just will kind of wiggle an egg free and cause it to start to ovulate. And basically the harder that FSH has to work, so the more FSH that you have in your blood, the harder it is for it to kind of cause and jumpstart ovulation. So we look at AMH and FSH together sometimes to get that overall understanding of ovarian reserve. There's other hormones that we look at, such as TSH, thyroid, and thyroid issues are very common. Are relatively common in women. And thyroid can play a big role in your ability to get pregnant, but also the health of your child and the outcomes as it relates to pregnancy. So basically, as we go through each of these hormones, it's basically either this snapshot of where you are today or this baseline that you can continue to measure over time to get a sense of your reproductive health and how it evolves.
That's so incredible. And I think it's so cool to just get that snapshot for you, whether you're wanting to start your family soon or you want to delay that start. Just having that information can really empower you to make the right decisions now that can deeply impact your future. I think that's so incredible. And I know for me, before Modern Fertility existed, in terms of my context of journey, like we went to see a naturopath fertility specialist and had to do all of these different tests and do the lab core and go in and do multiple tests and that kind of stuff to get the information needed for me to just understand what I needed to do on a personal health level to prepare for pregnancy. And so it's just so cool that you can do it from the comfort of your own home. I think that's like the biggest win of all.
Thanks. Yeah. And, you know, we think of modern fertility like your best friend that also happens to be an OBGYN that's just going to help you understand all of this information, personalize it, and put it in the context of you. We don't give medical advice. You can't make a diagnosis based on just your hormones independently, but you can just start to understand your body, understand your fertility and reproductive health. And in the context of these decisions, and yeah, we actually, the majority of our customers are a few years away from actively trying to conceive and get pregnant. And others are just somewhere within their process and wanting more information. So I just think that this type of information is so essential and just so helpful in terms of understanding your baseline and how to think about these decisions.
Yeah. I love this conversation so much. And offline, I have so many conversations with close friends in the process of IVF or going through their own journeys. And it's just fascinating to me once you open up the floodgates and start to get that information on yourself, it can just really open you up, not just in the realm of fertility. I know the changes that I had to make on our fertility journey have positively impacted my life, my energy levels, my work, my drive. There's so many things that I can link back to being proactive in our fertility journey that isn't just about reproducing or having children, but that have just really improved my overall health. So I think it can be the start of something really beautiful too, where you, with that new knowledge, can start to make decisions and take care of yourself maybe in a new way that you haven't been.
Yeah, I love that sentiment because we hear so many stories about, you know, women that took modern fertility, discovered an issue with their thyroid levels with their doctor, realized that their weight gain, their tiredness, just all of these factors were actually the result of a thyroid condition. And they got treatment and were able to both get pregnant, but also just drastically change the way that they were navigating life. All the way through, I am not actively trying to get pregnant right now, but I take our prenatal and it is like the vitamin hack, my hair, skin, and nails, and just all of the nutrients that you get from just nourishing your body the right way. I think that all of these changes up front are just so important. But even in thinking through our prenatal, most we found in our research, I actually didn't know that you were supposed to take a prenatal before you find out that you're pregnant because it actually takes multiple months for the folic acid levels to build up in your body to prevent neural tube defects in your future child. And so again, like having that type of information up front and doing everything that you can for your own health and that of your future child and being able to trust a brand that the quality of ingredients and the levels are right and safe. I think that all of these things are just a part of this new world of fertility and reproductive health that I just think, again, information is the biggest gap. And we're just here to help make navigating it a little bit easier.
It's so cool, even the whole prenatal thing. Like when we were getting ready to prepare for this pregnancy, I went to our naturopath and just sat down. We did all the blood work, different levels, things like that. And she was like, I just wish more women would come in before they start trying, because there's so much more you can do and take care of and optimize. And she's like, so many people I see after they're having issues or they've experienced a loss, and it's such a sensitive time in your body's in this interesting transition. And she said, it's a lot harder to treat then because you're not quite sure which variables might be off or impacted. And it was just so cool because she's like, I asked her, I was like, is there anything I can like talk about or share that would, you know, help this mission? And she's like, just empower women to be proactive about this and empowered by it. And I think that it's such a beautiful movement in the right direction. And I'm so excited to see more women embracing that.
Well, thank you for saying that. I could not agree more. And I would love to connect with this doctor because she is speaking our language. But yeah, I really think that is what it is all about. And I'm just so grateful to you for opening up about your story and having this conversation. Because I believe that this is really where it all starts, normalizing the conversations and just making fertility a part of just wellness. Why can't we talk about our fertility in the same way that we talk about our beauty routines, and, yes. and just starting to have these conversations where everybody knows what AMH is. And it's a part of our body. It's a part of our health. And we just are empowered by having all of that information at our fingertips.
Oh, Afton, this is so good. Is there anything that you are just super excited about that's getting you excited to get out of bed in the morning? After this past year, I feel like we need to celebrate the joys even more. Tell me what's getting you pumped up these days.
Oh my gosh. You know, I think for me, I love modern fertility. I love everything that we do. And just the fact that at the core of everything, we have this mantra, it's a neon sign on our wall that says, we trust women. And being able to have a company and a business model and just focus on clinically sound, neutral information that I want to use myself. Nice. It is so fun to get a question from someone that listens to this podcast and say, hey, actually, yeah, we wrote a whole blog article and deep dive with an OBGYN on this exact topic, or no, we don't have that answer. Let us go figure it out and get back to you. And so to be able to be at the intersection of all of that every day and have a whole team to work alongside and do that, I think that women's health is just a fascinating place to be. And, you know, I'm really encouraged by we still have so much further to go, but I'm just so encouraged by the progress that we've made. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a ton of fun. I'm grateful to be here today. And yeah, for anybody listening, would love to chat. You can email us hi at modernfertility.com. You can check out our website, our Instagram. We want to hear from you. We host free webinars and just educational events to dive into all of these topics. We have a community where tens of thousands of women kind of come on and talk about all of these different topics within fertility. So please reach out. We would love to hear from you.
Oh, Afton, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was such an amazing interview, and I'm just so grateful for this education and knowledge and research and the tools that are equipping women to take control and to be proactive. I think it's literally one of the most empowering movements happening right now, and it's just so exciting to be a part of it. Speaking from experience, one of the things that I could just hope for anyone listening is that you have the permission to be proactive. I know coming from a place of reactivity after our second loss was really, really hard. And on top of the grief of the loss, trying to uncover all of the reasons why it had occurred was just a really dark time for me. And so experiencing a pregnancy where I'm carrying a healthy baby a second time around feels like such a blessing and a gift, but being able to approach it from a proactive place this time has absolutely transformed the experience for me from start to where I find myself today. And I love that people like Afton are out there seeking solutions and making more opportunities for women to choose to be in the driver's seat of what their futures might look like. I am so grateful for you tuning in to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.